Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Hemisphere Energy, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol HME and on the OTCQX under the symbol HMENF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Don Simmons. Hemisphere Energy is an oil producer in Alberta in the Atlee Buffalo area. This is a low-cost producer that is growing through the drilling of more wells, some exploration that's been on tap, as well as possible acquisitions. And something that we have covered in the last couple interviews is this polymer flood in the G pool, which should be coming then online first half of this year, that can also help the company grow their production. One thing to note too is that this company has done fantastically through last year. The stock just kept on moving higher, helped by obviously the oil price, but also by the company continuing to grow. So Don, I want to start off with a quick recap of 2021 in terms of your guys' growth by the barrels of production, especially in Q4, because that was a nice growth quarter for the company. Take us through some of the actions in especially Q4 that are helping to grow the company, please.
Absolutely. And thanks again for having me for the update. Yeah, 2021 was a really busy year, especially the second half of the year. And I'll get to Q4, but it really started in Q3. And so one thing, you'd mentioned the polymer flood, that we converted one of our water floods to a polymer flood in an area in Atlee Buffalo in a pool we call the G pool. And we enacted that, we did that conversion at the beginning of the third quarter. And so it takes a number of months, really sort of tweaking and optimizing and injection of that polymer. And then, you know, we tend to see, or we'd hope to see sort of 6 to 9 months, we'd start to see some of the response to that. So that was a big project that we implemented through the summer. We then followed up in late Q3 and through September with a 3-well program in the G pool. And so that leads into Q4, which again was a very more active quarter than what we had anticipated originally. And I'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, we started off the quarter by bringing online through October and into early November the 3 wells that we drilled in the G pool. So that added some really nice production there. Through, and I think we had put out a news release in November that, you know, over the course of November, we were up from, you know, 1,800 barrels a day in Q1, Q2, up to 2,100 barrels a day. And then we went out to see and try and start planning our 2022 program, and we realized that, you know, it was going to be really difficult for us to get a drilling rig in the first quarter. So we accelerated our Q1 plans. We managed to get a rig in mid to late November, and we drilled 4 wells in our other pool, the F pool. And so we got those drilled. Those are wells that are coming online here through January. And, you know, we'll provide some production updates, you know, over the next number of months as those get on and get some history. But a really active quarter there because of that. And we also put out that with the new wells from the G pool that we drilled in September and brought online, and with you know, our polymer flood now having a number of months of injecting, we are starting to see some bumps there in production. And we averaged 2,400 barrels a day in December. So exited, I think told the market our guidance was we were looking for about 2,200 barrel a day exit, and we managed to produce through December 2,400 barrels a day. So very exciting, great exit to the year. We've been trying to build on that momentum here going into 2022. But a week or so ago, we put out our plans and our guidance for 2022. So we were looking to average through the year about 2,600 barrels a day. And exit this year with, again, some really good growth, exiting around 3,000 barrels a day. And our guidance was run at $75 WTI. So that production through the year, that would give us an adjusted funds flow of $37 million, or just under $0.40 a share. And we plan to spend right now about $9 million in CapEx programs. So again, between some of the development projects we have and some exploration projects we have, that leaves us with $28 million of free funds flow or free cash flow. And, you know, certainly debt repayment will be part of that. We can, you know, if we choose to be, pay that debt off. You know, we can also use some of that money to accelerate any projects that we already have. We'll continue to look at acquisition opportunities, and we'll continue to return capital to shareholders. We have in the past been active in our NCIB or our share buyback program, and something, you know, we have told shareholders in the future, we have put out that, you know, if the company is in a position, we would even look at potential dividend in the future. So that's kind of a recap of where we were last year and where we're headed here through 2022.
Well, Don, thanks for that summary. Let's dig into a couple of those areas in more detail, though. I know you have the two pools, the G pool and the F pool, and you drilled a couple wells at both of them. But just for people that are new to the story, Don, could you walk them through how the polymer flood helps increase the productivity versus the water flood? And then are you also going to be taking that same approach at the F pool that you did at the G pool?
Sure. Yeah. And we have talked about that before. And it's something that, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, we've been learning a bit more about the polymer flood as well. I mean, in my career, I have been involved in some different enhanced oil recovery methods in Southern Alberta and other places. And it was really during the downturn, during 2020, when we weren't terribly active in the field. We started to study it more. We modeled it. And we came to the conclusion that, you know, this polymer flooding, in specifically in our G pool, should really benefit in recovery from that. And at its simplest form, all we're really doing is adding a powdered polymer product, and we add it to our water injection system. So we were reinjecting any of the water that we took out of the reservoir with the oil. We'd separate out the oil and sell it. We'd take the water, we'd clean it up, and we'd re-inject it back down into the reservoir. And it's active, you know, it helps recovery. It helps to keep the pressure up in the reservoir. So now all we're doing is adding a polymer to that with the idea of just increasing the viscosity of that water. And, you know, think of it as almost getting it to something like an olive oil. And the reason we do that is when you re-inject that down, in theory, it sort of builds this wall between the water and the oil, and it pushes that oil more efficiently and in a better way over to our producing wells. It stops, like water itself travels fairly easily through the reservoir, so you're trying to stop it from streaking through in certain areas that it travels through the reservoir easier. And in the end, what does that lead to? For the extra cost of the polymer and for implementing and for the equipment, you get an increase in oil production, you should get a decrease in your water production, and you get an overall higher recovery factor or a better recovery of your oil in the reservoir. So when you run the economics on something like this, you know, you compare that and you say, well, for the cost of this extra money to do it in operating costs and capital costs, what do we get or what's the eventual prize? And for us, you know, doing that work, it looked like the prize was quite significant. And so far, I mean, knock on wood, things look very positive for the G pool. The F pool is something we're still studying. So the geology is a bit different for the F pool. It's a bit smaller pool. So it's something we're still analyzing. We're not there yet. We're still doing the science on it. And we have not made a final decision there. And, you know, we'll continue to work on that over the next couple months. You know, I'm not sure when exactly we'll have a decision on it, but it's something we're actively working on now.
So, Don, can you take us through the debt repayment, especially even looking into last year in terms of how much the company has paid down and what the schedule looks like for this year? Just as a note, I will be posting a link to this news release that we are discussing with the 2022 guidance, and it has a great breakdown cost-wise, dollar amount-wise, of what the company is expecting at different price levels, but then correlating that to debt. Give us a little bit more background on that for the company, please.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. So we should go back and just recap a little bit of what we did in 2021. And I believe it was late July. We refinanced a U.S. debt lender that we had for the last number of years and paid them out going back to Alberta Treasury Bank, or ATB. So we have a $35 million credit facility with ATB. And at the end of the third quarter, which I think is the last numbers out in the market, we were borrowed, or our net debt at that time was just over $18 million. So through the course of 2021, we had paid down, I think at that point, maybe about $6 million worth of debt. And it is something that we'll continue to pay down. You can see in our the guidance numbers you referenced there in the news release, you know, we're looking at, under those different scenarios, if we choose to be, we will be debt-free at some point here in 2022. Now, I say if we choose to be because, you know, we're an active company. We're looking at opportunities. And, you know, it may be that we decide to or have an opportunity to make an acquisition that we feel has great value add. So we, again, could use some of that debt to finance that acquisition. We may decide to accelerate an internal project or to ramp up something. So again, it's not, you know, it's not the guidance today, but I, you know, we're a small growing junior oil and gas company in a really great market right now. So, you know, we really just want to highlight that we have that flexibility and we have that ability to make those moves within our current balance sheet.
Well, Don, another thing that you had done in addition to paying down the debt is, you know, you had done some share buybacks during the year, but what other ways could you potentially look at returning value to shareholders? Have you considered the dividend option?
Yeah, I think, you know, we look at it. I mean, how can we return to shareholders? I mean, paying down debt, trying to add value. And then, yes, of course, the more direct return would be continuing with our NCIB or our share buyback program, taking advantage of opportunities in the market to be able to eliminate some shares out there. And then, yeah, we have discussed, you know, with shareholders and publicly in our news releases and in our corporate presentation that if we're in a position to do it, we will look at potential dividends and returning to shareholders. We understand that, you know, the industry as a whole and many shareholders are looking for those opportunities. And, you know, as a company, we're small. We have to make sure that we can do it and there isn't something that potentially has more value add, but it's absolutely something that we take as a priority and we'll continue to look at.
So Don, before we wrap this up, in terms of 2022 guidance and outlook, we've covered some of the nuances, some of the estimates that you guys have. In terms of news flow and time frame wise, what should investors be following along with to make sure that these growth plans, the guidance for 2022 is still being met?
Yeah, I think some of the big things to watch out for, I mean, one, and just industry-wide here through Q1, is the updated reserve reports. And again, you know, a reserve report is just it's a great way to see a third-party audited of future cash flow of the company. And so, you know, watching for Hemisphere's reserve report, I mean, typically in the past, we put them out sort of early to mid-March. I believe we're sort of under the same timeline this year with our auditors. So watching for that, really having a look at that valuation of our PDP reserves or proven reserves based on a per share basis to where we're trading today. And so that's a big one. And then, yeah, I mean, we'll try and as we do, you know, through our quarterly reports, updating the market on how our growth is going, how is our growth compared to guidance. And, you know, we'd like to, you know, keep the market updated as much as we can when we have, you know, any news or any updates to get out there.
All right. Well, Don, make sure you keep us up to date on the news that's coming out because, hey, the company has done very well. We've gotten a few questions regarding some of these growth avenues, and you've outlined them well here. Now it just comes to following through on that, and that's something that we like to follow up on. So keep us up to date on future news. We really appreciate this update and the look ahead through this year. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you. Don, again, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me and look forward to giving you an update in the future.